you can see, this is a world conference. Amen. We're going on this morning. We have 4 points because we want to break it down to make sure that everyone, you have something in your hand with which you can confront the enemy and overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. After this meeting, we're going to go into groups. I'm going to break up into groups. We're going to have group discussions on the word that has come this morning and the word that has been coming since we came into the camp. So, because we want to make sure that everyone has an understanding. So, if you have questions, you can write it down. And at the group level, it will be discussed. And then anything that needs to be discussed, when we come back together, we will do that. Amen. So this is more like trying to introduce, just give us some basic guidelines. What we're looking at bringing strength to the inner man. Amen. That is our simple topic. We're not going very far. Because we believe that that is a basic starting point. If we're able to start properly, have a good foundation, I believe God will enable us individually and collectively, as fellowship, as families, to begin to build on it. Amen. Last night, we tried to lay some foundation, some background. This morning, I won't spend time, but I will just reemphasize some issues, and then we will go into practicals. There are certain practical things we need to be aware of, and then certain practical things that we need to do. When we were in Nicodemus, you know, there was the story of a man who wanted to go to Uyo. Brother, do you remember that to your Nicodemus story? The man entered his car. He told his wife, "I'm going to Uyo," but he turned right and started going to Abba. His wife called him, touched him, and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm going to Uyo." He said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm somewhere near Obohi Junction." He said, "Are you sure you're going to Abba?" He said, "I'm going to Uyo." Now, you cannot go to Uyo when you're on the road to Abba. Amen. There was a man who was going from Jerusalem. Where was he going to? Jericho. If you know your geography of your Bible, you know that 3 times in a year, every man must go to Jerusalem. While others were going to Jerusalem, he entered Moto and started going to Jericho. You know what happened to him? You know what happened to him? You see, there are some spirits that are on the road to Jericho. If they catch you and me on that road, it's going to be very serious. The outer court is Jericho. None of us should be found there. Because God has no program to cover the outer court. Amen. Outer court is English language. Where you find yourself outside the will of God for you, you are not covered. Amen. A young sister that goes to marry Shellman has, you know that thing? You know that you're on the road to Jericho. You will land in Dubai. But when you get to Dubai, you will find something happening in your soul. Amen. Leanness. Let's just look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. We are going into the soul. And we are looking at the environment of the soul. Because the Bible says, Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. What are you fighting? You say prepare war. Who is your enemy? It's not your uncle. You took your father's land. Or your boss who doesn't want to promote you. Those are not your enemies. The enemies are within. Amen. So we want to properly understand these enemies and then understand how we can deal with them. So let's hear from the horse's mouth. We hear from the devil. Isaiah 14. From verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" All right, so when you reach heaven, you stop. Okay, do like this. When you stop, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" Stop. Amen. Heaven, there are different types of heaven. How many of us know that there is heaven in our soul? How many people know that heaven is within you? The only way God can dwell in you is because there is heaven in you. Amen. So when you read, "How art thou fallen," and it says heaven, you should look inward because it's telling you about the heaven in your soul. There are different types of heaven. There is the highest heaven. The Bible says the heaven and the heaven of heaven belong to God. That is the highest one. The devil was cast down from that place. But he landed in another heaven. And that heaven is the one within your soul. Mark my words. You cannot be a son if you don't cast that devil from that heaven within your soul. I didn't hear amen, so I have to repeat it again. So let me say it again. We are in this conference to learn how to cast out devil from within the heaven in our soul. Amen. And nobody is going to do it for you. You have to do it. Whether you're a child. Of course, you know now, children are the Boko Haram bombers. Do you understand? Huh? Yes, small girls, 9 years, 7 years. They are the bombers. So let's leave all this. You think when you buy trousers for your daughter, get ready. When she's 15 years, they can't talk to her not to wear trousers. Anyway, I'm not going there. So don't be annoyed. The little children must know tabernacle. Amen. Because their mates are bombers. Are Boko Haram bombers. So the devil has gone beyond us. So we're no longer doing that the children thing. Your children must sit down and hear the word. And it must start at home. Or you can't start it in the camp. If you fail, just ask God to forgive you. And then you can start right. Amen. So there is heaven within. The heaven of heaven, the third heaven. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And heard the word. By the way, in the third heaven, there is a radio frequency. And Paul heard those words. He heard something. Amen. And last night we said, the body is physically in Umuebule, but the soul is in the throne of God. I thought you would say amen to that. I hope you understand that. Now, your body is in MIS, but you are watching Arsenal. When is Arsenal? When is it? Is it today or tomorrow? The man is here, but he's watching television at home. Can anybody say praise the Lord to that? Wave your hand. God bless you. That's why I like you. You're an honest brother. Amen. There are some sisters here who are cooking pomo at home. Why they're here? So church has gone beyond this Sunday story. We're talking about the journey of the inward man. The inward man, the physical man is in MIS. The other one is in Cotonou. Selling and buying and collecting money and storing it in bank. Amen. How do we arrest that man and keep him in MIS? How do you arrest that man and keep him? Say, oh my soul, praise
the Lord.
Amen. That is what we are discussing. How do you deal with this inward man and teach him tabernacle? Amen. So it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O... Well, Lucifer is not really a real name. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, thou didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart. That is the point where we are going to. I will do what? I will ascend into heaven. Where is the heaven? Where is the ascending to? Okay, heaven. We fly, 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 fly. We're looking for heaven. That's a waste of time. That's a very close heaven. It's within. So for the kingdom of God is where?
Within.
Amen. So the devil says he wants to ascend over the heaven in you. Amen. That's why he wants to set up his government, his rule. Hallelujah. He says, I will do what? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the... You know that word, signs of the north. You think of Psalm 48, is it not? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. It's what? Mount Zion. On the side of the north. Amen. Salvation does not come from east or west. It comes from the north. That's God's throne. Amen. God's throne is inside you. The devil says, I will also put my throne inside you. That's war. And many of us are victims. We don't know what's happening to us. The problem is not the besetting sin. The problem is that there is a spirit that receives life from the besetting sin. And it's not English language. The Bible says this kind does not come out but by what? Fasting. Because the spirit is in the flesh. The spirits that dwell in the flesh. It's not English language. It is power. Power meets power. Like they say, power must change hands. Can we say together, power must change hands when?
Today.
Amen. Jesus must take the power back. And it's you and me that will give it back to him. Amen. God took a man. He took him into the temple of God. Ezekiel 8. He told him, dig in the wall. Amen. Ezekiel 8. He told him, dig in the wall. The wall speaks of our flesh. It speaks of our personality. You know, outside, it was very... You know, look at this wall now. If you take a knife, take a hammer, and start hitting at this wall, the things you will see, you will run away. Because you will see holes, you see all kinds of... But it's covered up. Many of us, let me not say all of us, there are things hidden in our flesh. And God says, dig in the wall. Amen. We need to dig in the wall. When you dig, when God digs, the things you see will drive you to prayer. Many of us, we do not have a prayer burden because we are not digging in the wall. Amen. You need to go to God and say, God, who am I? Ask God, who am I? Show me who I am. David said, touch me, O God, and know my heart. God knows your heart. So the searching is your benefit and for my benefit. Amen. Search me, O God, and show me who I am. The Bible says the word of God is like a mirror. You come to the mirror, you look. Who are you seeing? You are seeing yourself. That you might make a response. Amen. Hallelujah. So Isaiah is telling us that the intention of the devil, his plan, and a son must know the plan of the devil. When you are a child, you just think it is all free for all, dancing around. It's not dancing around. The devil, his plan is to set up his throne within you. Amen. And if you do nothing about it, it will happen. Give me the scripture, Isaiah 60. Say, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Eh? Can you complete it? And gross darkness, who? The soul. Say, people. People is English language. Eh? Darkness is coming upon the soul. You enter a shopping mall. Everybody is dying thing. One man carries gun in his pocket. He's going around. He wears one face cap. Eh? Where is that face cap? He's carrying AK-47, walking around, looking. Then the boy comes into a Bible study like this. Somebody, AK-47, comes into a Bible study like this. Sit down. He says, brother, read Psalm 40. He opens Psalm 40. He has AK-47 in his bag. And he's looking at them. Inside, say, yes, this one, I don't like him. The way he's looking at me, I will shoot him first. It happened this year. That is darkness. Now, when you see that, you know if you start to wear spike shoes, you run into God. Bible said, the name of the Lord is what? Is a strong tower. And the righteous what? Are you running? He said, oh, it can never happen in Port Harcourt. Who told you? The number of Boko Haram I'm seeing outside my gate. When I drive, I enter. I go, I wear my spike shoes. I know that they have trouble very soon. On campus, my office is very close to the mosque. I was a Unipost student. I know. Brother, did you see any? You hardly one or two people inside the mosque. Now they block the road. Go to GRA on Friday by 1 p.m. You cannot pass. One day I saw a troop of people. I was afraid. Amen. Trouble is coming. And you cannot deal with it unless you are prepared. And that is what we are saying. That the devil has a plan. He says, I will sit over the throne. So we are speaking about a spirit that is covering over soul, over the mind, over the emotions. And it is active. But it says, upon you will arise the light of God. So there are two things. The darkness is increasing over men, but a bigger story, the light of God is also increasing. So you choose the way it's going to happen to you. Amen. So you are hearing bad, bad news, but I wish you will hear the good news. Many of us specialize in news, but there is another channel, Holy Ghost channel. There is beautiful news there. Amen. Amen. Alright, let's move on. Ezekiel 28. You see, we're giving you the scriptures to show the position, the plan of the enemy within the soul. Amen. That's where the warfare is. You see, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, then you know how redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Ezekiel 28. Now, this one is more direct. Ezekiel 28, verse 14. I'm going straight. You can read the whole, but I'm going straight. 28, 14 says, thou art what? The anointed cherub. That does what? That does what? Covers. Amen. There is such a thing as the covering of the soul. Amen. There is a covering over. The soul has a dress. And there are two types of dress for the soul. Light or darkness. Amen. The brother was telling us the story about people who go to war. When they get to a particular junction, they remove common garments
and they wear war garments that make them invisible. Everybody will dance. Arochukwu headhunter. They don't go there with eating granite. Where's Brother Joshua? Is he here? Sister Tina? Uh-huh. Sister Tina, she's shaking her head. She knows. We are talking about spiritual warfare, reality. Amen. You do not wear normal garments to worship the Spirit. Amen. And he's saying here that there is a covering for the soul. That this Spirit, he said, you are the anointed that does what? Covers. Now read the next phrase. Reading that three words there, and I have allowed you or given you the authority. The devil has the authority to cover the emotions. The devil has the authority to cover the mind. The devil has the authority to cover the desires. There is a spirit that determines the way people desire. And God has set it so. Amen. God has allowed it because you and I will be the people that will cast it off. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we become Christians, yes, there is a chai-chai, sweet-sweet talk, the King's Way Christianity. You point and kill. I want V-boot, you point, God gives it to you. No problem. But when you want to become a son, God opens you and begin to show you your soul. Amen. That the devil has set up his kingdom in your soul. There is a spirit specially allowed of God to cover the emotions and to determine the way the emotions go. Now, if I can explain. The soul is a lower spirit. And because it is a lower spirit, it needs a higher spirit to cover it and give it strength to marry it as it were. Amen. I don't know if you can permit that language. Amen. That's why it says that Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is what? The bride. So the church is a lower spirit. Even within your soul is lower, your spirit is higher. And because it is higher, it's your spirit that relates directly with the Spirit of God. Amen. So the Spirit of God relates with your spirit, and your spirit gives life to your soul. Amen. That is the way it's designed. Then your body the body will go anywhere. Although the body has loved the soul so much that it says, I myself will marry the soul. This I won't even allow the spirit. So some of us, our bodies rule us. Amen. And if my body is ruling me, that means the soul is so weak. And there are some of us at that point, but there is hope. I thought I would hear a big amen. Amen. I'm ruled by the lust of my flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. They have so much dominion. There is hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so I have to run because of time. But I wanted us to just note that point, that there is a spirit that covers. I don't want to get into the one about the cherub. It speaks about the nature of the soul, the operation of the soul, operates on certain principles. So let me just give it. Go and look at Ezekiel, study Ezekiel very well, Revelation, Isaiah 6. We'll be able to get the principles of how the cherubs operate. But let's go to the next scripture, Romans 7. We're looking at the principles of the covering, the things that cover the soul. From the point of view of the scripture. Now, let me just say by passing, when we talk about soul, some people think we are talking about Greek philosophy. What's the other one? Greek. In school, they taught us psychology and psychiatry. Psychology, you apply it to the human soul when it is sick. And then you You heal mental illness. This one has nothing to do with that one. Now, there are people who are involved in what they call the mind science, mind religion, mind activity. I don't have to say, it's what I call horizontal to horizontal. The soul of man is falling. That's one basic thing. And there is no amount of yoga, if you like, roll or cross your leg, put the leg inside your mouth and roll, that is taking you anywhere. Because from the beginning, the soul is falling. There is no goodness in this soul. So the salvation of man will not come from within the soul. And that is what Greek philosophy teaches you. All this yoga, mental illness, mental motivational speaking, think positively, forget it. It's not. We are not preaching think positively. We are saying there must be blood. Do you understand? The energy must come from blood. The energy must come from Holy Ghost. The energy must come from the Word. Those three things. That the three things that bring witness of the life of God into the soul. Amen. If I read Stephen Covey from here, if I bring him to your house, you are going nowhere. Amen. If you go to Ekankan, chant the who. You chant. If you like, chant the Jamal force of. You are not going anywhere. Because that mind is what? He said the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked. That man, if I to kill you, it will follow you, chanting, one day, it rises and kills the man. That's when you know that there's trouble. Amen. Something must drop inside the mind and lift it up. And that is what Jesus came to do. Amen. And the tabernacle is the seven steps, don't you understand? To climb out of the hole and enter heaven. Amen. Jesus is the ladder. Amen. So we are not preaching Greek psychologists. If you have those rules, burn them, throw them away. Amen. The Bible has the answer. Amen. So Romans 7. Now Romans 7 is speaking about the principle of a law. Brother was touching it the other day. He was talking about the conscience. The law of the conscience. The law of God is not the law of Hammurabi. How many of us remember Hammurabi from primary four? Where did you learn it? Unless Hammurabi, is it primary five or so? They start teaching you history of the world. You read about Hammurabi, the great law. Amen. That is the law of man. Amen. Or they teach you 10 commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10 is the 10 commandments. When the man gets to the junction by 12 midnight, there is no policeman. He will drive against traffic and enter his house. Don't you do that. The man, he gets to his house. 12 midnight, nobody is there to. He will drive against traffic and enter his house. The man keeps the law because they say if you catch you there, 100,000 naira. So I don't even get money. So he stays there very wild. He is obeying the law of God, of man, with his body, but in his soul, he is cursing the government. God's law is not like that. God's law must be established where? Inside the man. Now, many of us do not understand the difference between the old and the new. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8, it says, if you can put it up, it says, I will do a new thing. That in the old covenant, the law was written, he wrote it, but say, I'm going to put my law where? In the mind. And of course, the mind is saying, God's law means nomos. That's the Greek word, nomos. It means God's nature. In other words, he's speaking of light. Amen.
God says, I'm going to put light in the midst of darkness. I remember on the first day, there was darkness all over the soul. Amen. So, Romans 7, verse 21 or so. Romans 7, 21 is talking about the law. He said, I find then a law. Amen. That when I will do good, evil is present with me. Okay, let's go back a little bit to get the confession. This is Paul confessing, telling you his experience, sharing his testimony with us. Verse 19 says, for the good that I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Amen. The man was walking with God. He began to find out that, look, Paul was born again. You understand? Was he not born again? Heavy born again. Heavy tongue. Heavy miracle. But God was saying, look, there is something beyond tongues. Many of us in this room are in that position. You blow the tongues, wave hand, yet you see something walking inside. God is drawing your attention that there is a throne that must be cast down. Amen. And we end time people of God, we are almost losing our commission. It's just a little. So 30 years ago, God came to us and brought something. Said, go and throw down this altar within the heart. Babylon, that's the word we started with. We are speaking about spiritual Babylon inside the heart. That's what we're talking about. We have danced around, we've entered all kinds of things. We have veered away. Just a little. But we thank God for the little. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul says there is a law within my heart. Now, God's plan is to erase that law and bring a new law. Everywhere is so quiet. Amen. Amen. So Paul is saying that there is a law. When you do the things you do not want to do, but you cannot help yourself. How many of us have come to that point and said, God, you know, I can't help myself. My hand is up already. Well, you don't have to raise it. Amen. I said, God, you know I cannot help myself. I cannot help myself. It's not an excuse for a son of God. Bro, go to Christian also. I cannot help myself. It's not an excuse for a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible says, I can do all things through who must overcome. Amen. How can we overcome when we do not realize the spirit we are fighting against? So Paul tells us that there is a law. Now, this law is like a computer program that has been installed. Okay, because many of us have installed programs on they call it apps, different apps. You know, there are some apps you install, that is the end. You can never remove them. One of them is Norton Security. Before you buy Norton Security, raise your hand and swear that you will not remove, because if Norton enters your computer, forget it. Try everything, it is not going to go out. When you delete it, you say, yes, we'll give you 30 days trial. Amen. That's how the program of good and evil was installed in the soul of Adam. Amen. And of course, all his children have gotten that program. And it is increasing. But God says that program must be uninstalled, must be removed. And then a new program, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, will be installed in that. Amen. So, the mind is like a computer. A computer must have an operating system. Where are the computer people? Is that true? The computer must have a system that operates it. The mind must have a system that
operates it.
There must be a spirit. A spirit. Now, let's talk about the mind just a little bit. Now, there are three simple facts about the mind. The mind is a creation of God. Very complex. But you see, it doesn't work on its own. Just like you have a... this one. This is a small computer made for receiving and, interaction. Now, they are modifying it. You can pay your bills. You can cook from here. I hope you know. I have a brother in Czech Republic. If he presses his computer, the light in his house will come on. He's 40 miles away. He controls everything in his house from his phone. I hope you know that, brother. Brother Radek. From his phone. I'm with him. If you're telling him something happens in his house, from his phone. Amen. It should tell you something. The devil presses the button. Pinning him, something starts happening to your soul. Say amen, praise the Lord. Oh, you don't know? Hey. You tell God, I will fast today. No problem. You immediately land the office. Sweet meat pie. Hey, that fast ends. I'm telling you about myself. Well, it doesn't matter. I check the time. It's about it is a computer. He is pressing a program. He knows that there is a receptor for the program where? Inside. Unless you uninstall that receptor, if you like, jump to heaven. If they carry you and go to heaven, in fact, he will stay in hell and press the button. And you will explode and cause trouble in heaven. That's why God will not carry you there. Amen. You say, when you take an unrighteous land to the land of righteousness, you know so, that even there, he will walk on righteousness. So the problem is not to physically go and fly and eat rice in heaven. No. We must uninstall the program. Amen. And it is the law of what? Sin and death. The Bible said that men loved darkness. That the man is waving his hand, but something inside loves darkness. Huh? If you are a son, you must go and talk to God about it. Amen. That's what we are doing in this conference. We say, God, we have stopped all this deceiving ourselves. Say, God, there is a problem here. Amen. There is a problem here. Let's talk about it. And God will begin to show us. And we are going to get there by God's grace. Amen. Now, the last scripture I was going to read, but I've read it already, so I'm going to go on. It's Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is a loaded scripture. In fact, there is a time clock there. But we're not going there today. But it says there was a beast. Uses the word beast. Say there was a beast that was carrying a woman. And it talks about the dragon. So you can't read Revelation 17 without reading Revelation 13. All right? About the beast that came from the earth. The beast that came from the sea. Amen. And they are speaking of different natures of the soul. A beast has one, when you see a beast in the forest, a wild, it's speaking about, it's describing a nature of wildness, a nature that is not controlled. Romans 7 says that the carnal man is what? Enmity against God. So it is not subject to the law of God. It does not have the capacity. It says neither indeed can be. You know what? It doesn't have the capacity to submit to God. That is a beast. Amen. Can a lion be your friend? Yeah, there are some people. I've seen somebody carrying snake as a friend, as a pet. Brother talked about it. Brother Paul told us about the story of the woman that had a snake. He said, this snake is born again. In fact, the name is now Peter. They call Peter, hey, the snake comes out. No problem. You're dancing with Peter. Then one day, the snake, when the man is lying down, the snake will lie down. I'll be measuring the man. I'll be practicing how he will swallow the owner of Peter. Amen. Many of us have the snake inside. Hey, the snake is there. Now, I told you about it. Eh? Is the desire, is earthbound. Amen. He said their God is their what? Belly. The power of the belly is on the ground. It gets energy from the ground. And God said, kill it. Oh. If you don't kill it, you are entering inside. It's like the man that rides the donkey. Or they rise the tiger. Say, the tiger will do so and so. Very soon, you will find yourself inside the tiger. Amen. So, the scripture tells us that the beast was carrying a harlot, a woman, a spirit. When you see the Bible, a woman is speaking about a spirit or a church. So, in other words, there is a spirit the soul worships. And the Bible calls it the image of the beast. Image speaks of worship. The mind is the perfect worshiper. In fact, the mind is an image worshiper. Amen. Why are you people looking at me? They say, amen, praise God. Amen. You are driving to work and you see something. You go to work. What happens? Your mind goes back to that thing you see. Amen. And if you are not very careful, that is what you are going to do. You see, as you are passing, you see beautiful car. Say, I'm going to buy that car. You go, say, honey, in fact, since you married me, you have not done anything for me. That's not the problem. The problem is that there was an image that she saw. Can the sister say, praise the Lord? You know God loves you. God bless you, sister. Sister, no, raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Yes. Or you went to August meeting and you see all the fire rapper. He said, how's your husband? I said, you were thank God for him. You go and say, Mecca, let me tell you. Let me tell you, we are not the poorest people in this example. We are not the poorest people. You must take care of me. You told my father you will take care of me. Amen. Is that true? The mind is an image worshiper. Anything the mind sees, it will do. Amen. So that's what the Bible is telling us, that this is a situation. So let's go to the second point. The first point was just to emphasize what we said last week, yesterday, about the spirits of darkness that are ruling over the soul. Now, we need to go one step further. Now, what is the effect of these spirits that are ruling over the soul? What are the effects of this arrangement upon the nature, upon the mannerism of the soul? I was going to tell you about the mind. The mind must be exercised. The Greeks call it phronios. That means the application of the mind. It's different from the nature of the mind. So you have the nature of the mind. There is the application of the mind. But more importantly, there is the spirit that determines the way the mind is applied. I hope that's simple enough to understand. There are three things. There is the nature of the mind. That nature must be applied. For instance, you recall something that happened. You are using your mind to remember what has happened. But there is a spirit that determines the way you remember, or the way you use your mind. These are the three things the Bible recognizes, the way the mind functions. Now, so we're saying, these spirits that rule over the mind, what is their effect? Because when we understand the effect, then we can know how to disconnect those effects and know how to overcome. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at a very popular one, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a very popular scripture that tells us the effect of these spirits upon the mind, upon the emotions, and so on. Amen. So are we there? 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. All right, can you read on? In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. Christ is an image. I don't know if you understand. Christ is an image that the mind must worship. God, but he is the right image. But the devil brings a substitute image, which is an antichrist image, and say, worship it. And because the mind is falling, it quickly responds to it. Amen. The mind must worship an image. And here he's saying that the mind was blinded. If the mind was blinded, that means it has the capacity to see. Amen. Yesterday, I drew a picture. A picture of the mind. I hope those at the back can see. I don't have black. I wish I had black. It would have been brighter. But assuming that this circle is the mind, the mind has different 5 recognized doorways, entry points, through which light can come in. Okay, let's do an experiment. Everybody, can you just close your eye if you don't mind? Just close your eye. I'm not going to hypnotize you. I just want you to understand. See, I don't have any, the only thing I have in my hand is this one. When you close your eye, that's the end. You're not seeing anything again. Can you imagine? God bless you, sir. Can you imagine the effect of that? That the soul is blinded. There is no vision in the spirit. Amen. You don't even believe that that God exists. Remember, Jesus healed the man. He said, what do you see? I see men what? As trees. He touched him again. May God touch us again. Amen. He said, I now see men. Amen. When God touches us, we will see him. Because in our inner man, our eyes are open. That was the prayer of Paul. That he might open the eyes of the understanding. That we might know the hope of our calling. Many of us do not know the hope of our calling because we are blind spiritually. And we are not even doing anything about it. We are proud. Oh God, I'm blind. I'm blind. May God deliver us from being proud of being blind. Amen. Yes, I was going to talk about the mind. The mind has an entry point, 5. The first one is sight. This is entry point. The biggest entry point is sight. Second one is what? Hearing. Look, when we say hearing is not this ear. Hearing is an ability God has built into the mind to hear the voice of God. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. When you say sight, it's not talking about these 2 round things. He's speaking about a capacity, that's a big language, an ability of your mind to know things. Amen. Okay. Praise God. As another one is smelling or discernment. And the Bible says, a priest must not have flat nose. That means he must have the ability to discern. Amen. Do you know why? God has the ability to also discern. He said, God smells a good offering. Is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? That the Lord, what? He smelled the offering and it gladdened. Do you know that the offering of your soul makes God glad? God descends and he there's an aroma that comes from the fragrance in your soul. Amen. Say amen now. You don't know that there's a fragrance your soul has? Oh my God, yes, there's an odor. Flesh has a big odor. Bro Huba, they asking, he used to say, he smells flesh, flesh. Bro Huba, isn't also? I know, he's afraid. He doesn't know that everything I do, I tape it inside my heart. I have, everything people say, I have different compartments where I store it. Amen. When you move in the prophetic, you can discern flesh. You smell it from far. You say, look, this is smell. You cast it out. Amen. May God open our senses that we can discern the spirit. Many of us, when we see a spirit, we just go, the boy has come. He's running around you, buying you Mr. Biggs every year. He said, I want to marry you. Be careful how you go and marry. Flat nose. Very soon you end up in Dubai. Can those sisters say praise the Lord? Those sisters, those Dubai sisters. Okay, sorry. Hey, why am I talking like this? Okay, I won't talk again. Amen. Don't marry because of Dubai. Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. He brought the man. Samuel said, God, he said, this must be the anointed. God said, No. This, the man is not yet here. So man looks what? On the outward. God does what? He has a measurement for the activity of the soul. Amen. So the third one is discernment. The fourth one is what? Is taste. And then the fifth one is what? Touch. This one talks about being united with Christ. This is ability to draw life from heaven. The soul having the capacity to draw life. Amen. Do you know you can run your life from heaven? Is somebody listening to me? Say amen now, amen. There is a resource, there is a river flowing with energy in the heaven. When you develop your mind, you can draw life from God, amen. You can tap into that current and it powers your soul, powers the engine of your activities, amen. Anyway, so these are the different senses, the different abilities. And each one of these, God has. Amen. God, he sees. The idol does not see. He has eye, but he does not see because he's blind. The idol will make you blind if you are an idol worshiper. Amen. If you're a God worshiper, you start seeing like God also. Amen. So the more you submit to God, the more you begin to recover your ability to see in the spirit. There is no reason why you should not be able to see the things of God. Amen. There is no reason why you should not hear the seventh trumpet, the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. No reason why you cannot discern the activities of the Spirit. The man is saying, let us go and do the contract. He's saying, immediately I get the money, I'm running to America. In his heart. And you cannot hear it. Amen. He said, come. You have retired from share. They paid you 100 million naira. I said, look, Oga, we are Port Harcourt boys. We know where the money is. Look, you don't need to do anything. We will do the work. The man has already gone to clear land in Abuja. He's talking to him in Port Harcourt. He said, Oga, don't worry. Look, I'm your person. Immediately money touches his account. Fiam, he disappeared from Port Harcourt. And many of them are dead like that, though. Many of them are dead because they didn't have discernment. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so these are various capacities within the soul. But we want to look at the effect of this spirit over this ability that God has given to us. Proverbs 7. We have seen the effect from 2 Corinthians 2, where the mind is darkened. So let's look at another one, Proverbs 7. Verse 6 says, "For at the window of my house I look through my casement, and I behold among the simple ones, I descend among them a youth, a young man, void of understanding." Amen. Amen. That is one of the effects of the covering of this spirit, that he makes us to lack understanding in the things of God. Amen. We are empty spiritually and do not have understanding. We'll come back to this scripture, but let's read Luke 11. Luke 11. Luke 11. This one is very important, and you must mark it in your Bible. Read it very well and apply it. Amen. Luke 11:33. I hope you are writing down the scriptures, because it has been shown that when you sit in a class, when you leave the class, you will only remember 10%. So, the message you had last night, you can only remember 10% if you didn't write it down. Is that true? The teacher, is this true, Sister Ivy? She says it's true. I'm not the only talking. Amen. So, write down, because by afternoon, you will forget. Amen. So, write the scriptures down and go and check it yourself, to prove if they be true. Verse 33 says, "No man, when he has lighted the candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that he may what? That they which come in may see the light." Then verse 34 is very direct, very specific. It says, "The light of the body is the eye." Now, you can apply it. The light of this physical body is what? Is this physical eye, isn't it not so? Are we together? Some people are already sleeping. Are we going to sing some song and just shake ourselves? So early in the morning. Wake up, wake up. Okay? So the light of this physical body is this physical eye. Also, the light of the soul is what? Is the eyes of the soul. Amen. Amen. So your body has physical eyes. Your soul also has spiritual eyes. But they say it is the eyes of the mind. Amen. You walk naturally by the functioning of your eyes. That's the major thing that you use to walk. Also, if you are going to walk in the Spirit, Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. You must be able to have spiritual sight. Amen. How can you walk in the Spirit when you are blind? Hallelujah. May God heal our blindness. Hallelujah. So 34 says, "Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is what? Full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is what? Full." So there are only two, either light or darkness. And what determines is the eye.